Hello, and welcome to this half hour of Rallet's Baptist Church. My name is Brother Dwayne Cook, and I'm pastor here at Rallet's, and I'd like to invite you and your family to come join us every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. for our Sunday school program, or every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. for our worship service, or maybe you'd like to come join us on Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. for our Bible study. We'd love to have you at any of those meetings. We are just an open, friendly church where we want people to be able to come and to worship the Lord their God and to learn more about His statutes, about His commandments, about the things that He's left us here to do on this earth. For I really believe that God didn't save us just so that we can go about the business of the rest of our life, but God saved us and called us to a specific and a very important ministry in this world, and that's to tell others about the Lord Jesus and to live our testimonies out before men. It's a way which we can give thanks back unto God is by obeying His commands and really reaching out and trying to help others. I want to invite you to our annual outdoor Christmas play, and that's this Sunday at 6 o'clock right here at Rallet's. It'll be outdoors. Bring a blanket. There'll be some hot chocolate available. There'll be some things of that nature, and we just want to invite you to come out and join us and celebrate the birth of our Lord. And we've got some great music planned for that, some live animals and different things. And so we want you and your kids to come out and join us in that, and we're just going to have a great, great time. This being the second Sunday of Advent. Now, what is Advent, you might ask? Well, that's just the time in which we celebrate the fact, the glorious fact, that God came to earth as a man. And so I want you to be in along in those minds, but I want to share with you somewhere that you might think is unexpected. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 13 through 17, especially verse 13. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now, this is just a short letter with a simple structure. After a greeting, the Apostle Paul, who is the writer of 2 Thessalonians, the Apostle Paul offered thanksgiving to the Thessalonians for their faithfulness. He assured them of God's justice upon the wicked and the godly. Then Paul gives instruction to them. He wants them to correct false teaching about the day of the Lord and to encourage faithfulness through prayer. Now, there follows an exhortation of sorts to continue in faithfulness. Paul asks for prayer and warns against idleness, and he closes with a benediction. This book, 2 Thessalonians, was meant to encourage those who are loyal to God. So expect the Holy Spirit to build your faith as you read through 2 Thessalonians. The letter warns the unfaithful, challenging them to draw close to the Lord in light of His certain return. And I believe that's getting more and more close. I believe we're going to see that day before the end of my life. I believe we'll see that return of the Lord. No matter what persecution may come, we must remain faithful to the end. And then we will receive our just reward. That is what God has promised, and God holds true to His promises. God is asking us to stand fast. Now, one of the ways in which this applies to our Advent, our second Advent Sunday, the coming of our Lord, is that we must take a stand on things in our lives. We must take a stand about the fact of Christmas. No Christian out there should put on a letter or on a gift or any sort of a memo or anything else, Merry Xmas. That's taking Christ completely out of what Christmas really is. We shouldn't have anything on there that says Happy Holidays, even though that might apply. It doesn't. It means because it's leaving Christmas out. We must keep the Christ in Christmas. There's no arguing that. If you're going to call yourself a Christian, you cannot worry about political correctness. You must keep Christ in Christmas. Now, there are lots of things that you cannot change about yourself. There is, however, one thing that as a Christian you can change. If you don't have a sense of joy about your life, then you can and must gain it. Listen to these verses. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 13. Chapter 2, verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which He called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or by our epistle. Now, May our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God and our Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Now, grace at work produces a deep sense of peace and secures our hope. Do you understand that? That grace working in your life gives you that sense of peace. It gives you that ability to overlook the obstacles in our life and to see them as nothing more than opportunities that God has given us. Grace is very important. I like the way Billy Graham described the word grace. He said, that's God's riches at Christ's expense. You and I are able to have a relationship with God because of grace, because of God's overlooking. Listen, we deserve nothing except condemnation. We deserve nothing except that God might judge us and find us guilty. But it's because of God's grace that Jesus came in human form and lived a perfect sinless life that He might be the perfect sinless sacrifice for mankind's sin. Then that caused the ability for us to have Christ's righteousness imputed upon us. And so when God looks at us, He sees us in the light of Jesus. He sees us as our bodies is being held over and held into account of God Himself. And so the Bible tells us we are bound to give thanks to God always for you. Now, Paul is talking here to a group of his friends. He's talking here to a group of people that have given themselves over into that grace, into that beauty that God has bestowed upon His people. God always for you. You know, it's important that we direct our thoughts. It's important that we direct our thanks to those that are deserving of it. There's only one person, only one individual, only one being in this world that is deserving of our thanks, and that's through the Lord because of God. From the beginning, He chose us for salvation. Now, I like that because it says that we had no choice in what was going on. We had nothing to give. We had nothing to gain except what God was going to give us. God chose you for salvation through what? Through sanctification. Now, God has a purpose in your life. God has a desire to see you come to a greater knowledge of Him. He has a desire to see you become more and more like His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, through sanctification, God has given us the ability to grow and be more and more like Jesus. Over the process of time, a Christian should be able to see their faith grow by leaps and bounds. And it's unfortunate today that in many places we see that Christians are just the same as they were the very day they were saved. We must find our sanctification by the Spirit. Now, I like that because it takes man out of it. You see, there are so many people today who are struggling in their own strength, trying to sanctify themselves, and yet they don't find any peace. They can't find any hope. They can't find any help through that because they look back over the course of their lives and they think, man, I've just wasted so much time. I've not had all the things that I ought to have. I'm not doing things like God asked me to do. And they find it to be such a struggle in order to keep God's commandments. They find it to be such a struggle in order to live life as God has asked them to do. They are striving to try to do things without the help of the Holy Spirit. We must rely upon the Spirit in order to ask the Spirit to help us and to come into our lives and to begin to do something that we were not able to do. You see, it's the Holy Spirit of God that reaches deep within the recesses of your heart and He wraps His loving arms around your soul and He begins to sanctify you. We cannot work and operate under our own strength. It takes the Holy Spirit of God. Then he finishes verse 13. He says, and belief in the truth. Now, Pontius Pilate asked a question one time as Jesus was standing before him there in his courts. He said, what is truth? And we know that when he asked that question, the very answer was standing there before him, that Jesus himself was the truth. Now, friend, how can we be certain of that? How can we know that Jesus was the truth? Because everything that he said came to pass. History itself declares that Jesus was the truth. And not only that, we have the testimony of God Himself. As God said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. God would not say anything like that except about Him who was the truth. And then we can look at the testimony of the apostles. We can look at the men who gave their lives for what they knew. You see, many a man will die for what he believes is the truth, but no man will die for what he knows is a lie. Those apostles knew that Jesus was the truth. to which He called us. Look at verse 14. To which He called you by our gospel. I like that because, you know, it's talking about the good news. The gospel is still good news. There are a lot of places that will try to beat you down with the Bible. Do you know the Bible makes a wonderful sword but a terrible club? And a lot of folks are preaching a gospel that's not good news. But friend, the only true gospel is a gospel that can do nothing less than fill your joy, fill your happiness, bring you blessed peace. The good news is that Jesus died for our sins. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that wonderful that we have been called by the gospel? You know, there is a certain individual that whenever the gospel hits their heart, they respond automatically. I can remember the first time I ever heard the gospel, that I really heard it. I'd sat through a couple of meetings. I'd sat through a couple. I'd been invited to come to church. And over the course of time, you know, I probably went 4 or 5 different meetings there, Sunday nights and Sundays. And I really didn't hear anything. I really didn't understand. But I remember that Sunday night as I was standing at Fairview General Baptist Church there in Park City, Kentucky, that the gospel was first heard by me. I understood that this man that was the preacher there that night, he was talking about me. He was talking about a lost individual. And I didn't understand my lostness. I didn't understand the fact that I needed to be saved. It took a few times. It took a little bit for it to sink into my mind and for me to understand that I must be saved in order to have eternal life, in order to not be separated from God for eternity, that I had to have a relationship with this Jesus that this man was talking about. And it was a beautiful thing to see that when it came to pass and when I came to understand that God was doing something terrific in my heart. And I remember so much what joy came about, what a beautiful peace came over my soul when I first stepped out and God called me by the gospel, by the good news. Now, He said this was for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you understand today what the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ really is? The glory of Jesus is the love of the Father. The love of the Father is what enables Jesus to be glorified. It's what enabled Jesus to be lifted up and put on high. He was in a special place when it came to His relationship with God the Father. Now, the Bible is telling us that we can obtain that glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. What is it that you and I can obtain? It's the love of God the Father. The love of God the Father enables us as men and women to be able to come nearer to God, to be able to come closer to Him, to be able to be in the very throne room of God. We must thank Him time after time after time for obtaining that glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. When God looks at you, Christian, He sees the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. He sees the very reason that He came to love us was through His Son. And so Paul says, with these things in mind, with these things encompassed within our brains, as we begin to grasp these thoughts, Paul says in verse 15, "Therefore, brethren, stand fast." You know that's what we need today? We need men and women who are calling themselves Christians to begin to stand fast and hold the traditions by which you were taught. Friend, listen. It's not a waste of time for us to go about our daily living in the Spirit of God. And it's not a waste of time for you and I to teach our children and to teach those who are newly converted, those who have just come into that saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. It is not a waste of time for us to hold fast and teach those traditions. It's a wonderful thing to teach the traditions of God. It's a wonderful thing to teach people about prayer, about the Lord's Supper, about the true meaning of baptism. All those things are stuff that we have to hold fast to because this world is trying to slowly erode those things away. This world is trying to get us to lose our grasp on the things that God has taught us. It would try to water down what the true gospel really is. They're trying to give you a bloodless salvation and a polished cross. Listen, friend, we must hold fast to the fact that Jesus died and that He rose again. And the fact that death and resurrection hold a special meaning to us today. There is no hope without the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He says, whether by word or by our epistle. Now, you know, I like that because the Bible is the Word of God. And yet we know that these epistles that Paul is speaking of, that's these very letters that we have so much in our New Testament. As we flip through those letters, we begin to see God revealed to us. Listen, the Gospels tell us who God is and who Jesus is. The epistles, the other letters of the Bible, tell us how to live that life. They really put that faith that we find in the Gospels, that glorious circumstance that we were given, that beautiful way in which we were saved, the beautiful way in which we were given a peace and a holiness and an ability to be able to go before God Himself. All those things that we find in the Gospel, the epistles, lay them out for us how that we might live that life. How that we might be able to accomplish the things that are talked about. They give us the wonderful, beautiful, holy words of life. And one of those things that I really want you to take home with you, that I really want you to be able to grasp this afternoon, is the fact that we are to stand fast. When I picture someone that's standing fast, for some reason in my mind, I see an individual standing in a fast, swiftly moving stream. And they have their feet planted. And though the water may roar around them, though it may attempt to push them backwards, when I see somebody standing fast, I see somebody that's fighting against a tide that's trying to push them in a different direction. You know, I believe that's the way it is with the world today. It's my estimation that morally we're not growing any better. Even though man today might be able to take and do great wonders with science and medicine, it might be able to do great things with all the science and all the wonderful technology that we've been given, but I believe today morally we're in a steep decline. I believe God is asking us as churches, as individuals, as Christians, to stand fast about the statutes of God. We need people that will stand up today and say, you know what? I'm not going to allow this stuff to come in my home. I'm going to stand fast for my family. I'm going to stand fast for my friends. I'm going to stand fast for those around me. But most of all, I'm going to stand fast because the Lord Jesus Christ has asked me to do so. And as a soldier of the cross, we are compelled to follow what He has asked us to do. We must not back up on the doctrines and the traditions that God has given us. We must hold tightly to the things that He has, because I'm telling you, it's becoming more and more popular to not do the right thing. It's becoming more and more prevalent in our society today that men and women make excuses for themselves why they go about doing immoral and ungodly things. They think it's okay because the rest of the world is doing it, because all those around them are also in that steep decline and they are blind to it. They can't even see what's really happening, but God has called you to stand fast and to not allow your faith to be pushed backwards by the things of this world. Paul ends this letter in the most beautiful of ways. He says in verse 16, "Now may our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation." Isn't that great? An everlasting consolation. "And good hope by grace." Paul says that it's to comfort our hearts and to establish us in every good word and work. And so I want that to be my challenge to you today, that you might begin to establish yourself in every good word, that as you go about your daily business, that you find right on the very edge of your tongue is a good word to somebody about what God has done in your life. And that your testimony is not have to be declared from the rooftops, but it can be seen in your everyday life. And also in every good work. And that when people look around at who's being helped and who's doing the helping, that they can say, that person is a Christian. That's why they're doing these good things out here in the world. And I want you to stand fast during this Christmas season. And that every one of us, regardless of what church house that we go to, we understand that those that are blood bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, we're all one church. I want to challenge the church today to not allow Christmas to lose its true meaning. It's not about spending a bunch of money you don't have on things that people don't need for people that won't appreciate them. But it's about declaring to the world the birth of our Savior. Joy to the world. I think that's really what it's about. Would you close with me in a word of prayer? Father God, we come to You and thank You for the fact that we have a Christmas season that we can celebrate. Lord, if it had not been for Your grace and for Your love, Father, we wouldn't be able to stand here today and talk about the birth of a Savior. Father, we wouldn't be able to talk about His death. We wouldn't be able to mention His resurrection. But because of Your great love for this world, because of Your great concern for our humanity, that God, we do have that possibility. And Father, I just want to thank You today. I want to thank You for that baby that was born in a manger. I want to thank You, dear Father, that He loved me and He died for my sins. And I thank You most of all for the fact that He rose again to enter into that glory and to take us as Christians with Him. I ask You these things in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, friend, from Rowlett's Baptist Church.